This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Three of the Nightcap on a Wednesday here on VSiN. That gentleman right there, Sean King, quite happy that there was a three-run homer in the top of the ninth as the Dodgers, a 9-2 loser to the Atlanta Braves. I don't know why I keep wanting to give them the win. I don't know why.
I think like everyone else, people had already kind of handed the Dodgers.
I guess so.
You know, the championship.
Braves 9-2 win tonight. The Astros a 9-1 victory tonight. Game six that'll be on Friday night down in Houston. Game number five in Los Angeles. A chance for the Braves to close it out. An upset in college football tonight as App State finds a way to beat Coastal Carolina. Their first win since the upset over Michigan at the Big House in 2007 over a ranked team. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. Let's keep week eight of college football rolling along as we bring in our good friend, joins us each and every week in this spot. He is Kenny White at KYD Vegas on Twitter. And Kenny, we just turned the page because as Sean has talked about all throughout the week.
Yeah, we got unlucky, Kenny.
Man, it's 14-0 at the half. We got the under 57.5. We're feeling good. And somehow UL Monroe, maybe Rich Rod thought he had Sean King back at quarterback in 1998 because they found some offense. So we move on. You're going to lose every once in a while. That was a tough one. I felt like the proper handicap on that one. Let's go to a very unique situation because Clemson is almost never an underdog in the ACC. The last time they were an underdog, it was when Lamar Jackson was a quarterback at Louisville. So now you've got Clemson. They are a 3.5-point underdog, Kenny, against the Pittsburgh Panthers. A total of 48. You can find a 48.5 out there. We might have lost Kenny's video there. Well, Kenny, if you could still hear us on Skype, what do you make of Clemson and Pittsburgh on Saturday afternoon? I think we might be dealing with some technical difficulties there with Kenny. So we will hopefully.
You guys want to call me back?
Link back up, as he just said. Yeah, let's give him a call back.
He's there. Let's go.
I think we're going to reconnect with Kenny we'll get to that Clemson-Pittsburgh game. You know, it's funny. Sean,
you haven't told me what you're doing in that game.
Nothing.
Okay.
I don't want to lay points with Pat Narduzzi against Clemson.
What's your land points with Kenny Pickett?
I mean, you trust Kenny Pickett that much already? Against a top 10
defense?
It's
not Kenny Pickett that I don't trust. You know, it's...
At the end of the day...
I'm taking Pitt. I'm going to take Pitt. I like Pitt in this game.
I mean, this is...
You know what? Actually, I take that back.
This is the biggest game since Pitt has walked into
the
ACC.
I had it written down. I'm taking the under.
Yeah. That yeah.
I'm
I
just gonna play the under.
That I could get on board with.
Yeah, Clemson doesn't seem to be able to get over 17 or 20, and they don't rarely give up over 17 or 20.
I'm curious about the potential of Pat Narduzzi.
I think we have the great Kenny White.
Let's get Kenny back in. Kenny, Clemson and Pittsburgh. Sean just said he likes the under a little bit. I don't really want to do anything with this spread because Clemson's 0-6 ATS, but I'm not going to trust Pat Narduzzi to figure out a way to win a game as a favorite here. What do you make Clemson and Pittsburgh? What jumps out at you?
Yeah, my computer had a bad connection. as soon as you talk about Louisiana Monroe and Liberty, it really got a bad connection. So that's how bad that game was. You know, Pitt has been really good the last couple of weeks. They've beaten me. I've gone against them, at Vautech against them. So Pat Narduzzi, again, he does this every year. His teams do peak at a certain point, and they play well 3-4 games in a row. But then they kind of tail off. But they're playing really well right now. This is Clemson's, you know, biggest game of the year right now. If they win, they're back in the race with Wake Forest and NC State. And you're right. It's hard to find games where Dabo is an underdog, but there are quite a few because he's played in the national championship in the playoffs. And their dogs in those games, he's 6-2 the last eight times he's been a dog, but he's had far better teams than what he has now. You know, I had to go through this roster. They only have five guys on offense that are starting right now that I had at the beginning of the year, and only six on defense. Their defense is starting to get worn down as well. But I analyzed this game so many different ways and thought, I can't bet against Clemson at this point. I made Pitt five, but I still can't lay the points. But I like what Sean's talking about. It's an under game because Pittsburgh, Narduzzi is a defensive coach, and he's very conservative. And Clemson has a problem scoring. They just don't have the continuity in offense. They don't have the experienced players to put points up. So I think this will be a very low-scoring game.
Talking once again to Kenny White. I want to stay in the ACC, Kenny, because NC State, a team that you loved preseason, and they get beat up pretty good against Mississippi State, and now it seems like they're finding their way. Very impressive performance up at Chestnut Hill this past weekend, winning that one, going away as a three-point favorite against Boston College, and they're a three-point road favorite again against Miami. I can tell you one thing. I bet you the public is going to be racing to lay these three. It seems a bit fishy that line is sitting there at three. Wolfpack at Miami, a total of 52 in this one. Are we going to go with the pack again here in this spot?
Oh, yeah. I love NC State here in this spot. Be careful of them the next couple weeks. I think they play 4 out of 5 weeks on the road. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a tired team in 5 weeks from now, but they're not tired now. Dave Dorian's done a good job, 12-6 ATS his last 18 games. They do have revenge from last year, home revenge. They lost 44-41. That's a factor you got to add into this. You also have to add the factor in when Miami's not good, they do not draw well down there. So very sparse crowd. I bet you there's more NC State fans in the crowd than there are Hurricane fans. Manny Diaz, he is definitely on a very hot seat right now. Without Derek King, it's a big drop-off. Tyler Van Dyke, when you look at the stats, hey, they don't look bad, but he was 10-11 versus Central Connecticut. The two teams that he played the last 2 weeks, he has been under 50%, less than 7 yards a pass, more interceptions. I think he has 3 interceptions to 1 touchdown. And now he's up against a NC State defense that is far better than what he's seen. I think Van Dyke really struggles in this game. The guy's got a big time arm. He's a big kid and can throw it a long ways, but his accuracy is not there yet. And I think NC State will harass him the entire game. So yeah, love the Wolfpack this week.
I always get nervous when I do my write-ups for the website on Wednesdays, and then we have Kenny on. So right. Sometimes it's reassurance, and then sometimes it's dread, because if he's going against me, I don't like my odds. So let's go to the game that I wrote up for the website. I won't tell you what side I'm on. We've got Oregon visiting UCLA. UCLA coming off an impressive win against Washington. Oregon found a way to beat Cal, but it's still a top 10 team with a lot of talent. The line right now sits UCLA -1, 1.5. College game day going to be out there. Bruins, Ducks, the spread at 1, a total of 60. Kenny, which way are you looking on this one?
Yeah, really good game. I think two teams that are going opposite directions, though. Oregon seems like, under Cristobal, they play to the level of the competition, and it shows in his ATS records. 9-21 ATS since he's been at Oregon. 5-8 his last 13 games, where Chip Kelly is 5-2 ATS this year. I think they're playing far better. They're kind of overachieving. And then you got the Chip Kelly factor going against his old team in Oregon. He is 0-2 against the Ducks, but this is the best team he's had. I made UCLA 4.5, not adding anything in. I don't know how good the crowd's going to be. Remember the beginning of the year when they played Hawaii, nobody was there. I think the crowds are getting better and they're buying into this UCLA team. This should be a great crowd this week, and I'm hoping it's a +4 or 5 point crowd to the betting line. That's not factored in yet. I only gave him 3 points for home. But yeah, I'm going to go with Chip Kelly, the revenge against his old team, because I just feel they're playing better football than Oregon is right now.
Always like it. It's a little reassurance. You're on the Ducks. You like the Ducks?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
They got
lucky to beat Cal.
They got very lucky to beat them. Yeah, they got very lucky. All right, we're on Team Bruin here. Lay under 3. I'm good with that. I laid the 1 earlier this week. There's another game I want to get to, but I do want to leave you time. Last week, once again, I hope the computer doesn't get mad at you again because of bringing up UL Monroe. I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, it's 14-0 at the half. I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, another winner for Kenny. And UL Monroe somehow strikes gold with offense. So where are we going this week? What game really jumps out at you?
Yeah, another total. I'm always looking for totals. And Arizona at Washington really jumps out. That total is 46.5. I have no idea how these teams are going to score. Washington has struggled all year. They've struggled all year offensively. Their defense is great. And Jimmy Lake's a defensive guy. It's a very solid defense. They've shown it week in and week out. This past week, Arizona gets shut out by Colorado. Washington's defense is better than Colorado's. And we've seen the Huskies' offense has struggled all year. 94th in the country in yards per play at 5.2. Arizona, 117th at 4.7. Just two very poor offenses. I thought this total was extremely high at 46.5 for these two. They set college football back a little bit, but it's going to be much like last week. Colorado, another team that's good defensively, struggles offensively. I think that score was 34-0 last week. This may be around the same type of score.
There you go. Under Washington and Arizona. That's a Friday night game, so get those bets in earlier, late night Friday. All right, Kenny, we always appreciate it. I appreciate it more when you're on the side of my play, too, so that just makes me feel a little bit better. Let's have ourselves another winning weekend. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Yep. Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great week.
You too, Kenny.
There he is. Kenny White. Under 46.5. UW and Arizona.
Ting!
Oof. That one. Late night, Friday night. We'll be watching that one going, ugh.
Get a great start to Saturday.
But yeah, hopefully. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. Bring it on back here on the Nightcap.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. That gentleman right there, his name is Sean King. Played a little football in his day.
How's I?
Little QB at Tulane. He was QB1. They put up on Twitter in 1998 that he's QB1.
Yeah.
I wonder where I'd finish in the Heisman now.
Oh, that's a good point.
If, like, we put up the season that we did then. Be interesting.
I mean, he wouldn't have beaten Ricky, I don't think.
Ricky Williams.
Nah. But let's see.
No, in a year like this where there's
Your numbers.
In a year like this where there's no, like, consensus.
Yeah.
You know.
You guys went undefeated.
Yeah, we won all our games.
Man, Joe Germain got in front of you. Come on. Joe Germain from Ohio State.
Bro. What I was dealing with. That's what I'm saying.
Let me ask you this, because I know you were friends with this quarterback. He finished sixth. You finished 10th. How did Dante Culpepper finish ahead of you?
Dante's a baller, though. Like, he was fighting the same battle I was fighting. I think the thing that separated us.
Yeah, but they went 9-2. You were a top 10 team.
But I think they opened the year, if I'm not mistaken, at Nebraska or something like that. And he played crazy. Or maybe that was Tim Rattay and Troy Edwards that opened
They played Louisiana Tech. They smoked them. They lost two games. They lost to Auburn. They lost to Purdue.
The Auburn game, he played tremendous. They lost, but he played tremendous.
He only scored 6 points.
I guess he didn't play tremendous.
I don't know how you got.
I was trying to boogie up my guy. That's my guy.
You got hosed, man.
Hey, 10? I agree. 100%.
38 touchdowns. No one else had that. Tim Couch had 36 touchdowns, but he had 15 picks.
He was throwing screens.
15 picks.
He had. I didn't.
I need to find the one guy. There was one guy.
I didn't throw 15 picks. He did.
No. Yeah, Tim Couch did. You threw six.
Yeah, I put up a strong 38-6 with 11 more rushing. I needed Aaron. I needed to know Aaron back then. He could have started like a King for Heisman campaign in New Orleans. We probably could have made some headway.
I mean, I understand. Ricky Williams rushed for 2,100
yards.
Didn't
he break, like, the all-time, like, rushing record?
Well, it got broken the next year by Ron Dane.
Yeah, and to be honest, Michael Bishop, who I think for second. Like, he had a good year.
Michael Bishop was one of my favorite college football players of all time. I love
him. And this is kind of when K-State was, like, arriving on the scene.
They should have went to the national championship. They got upset.
I used to call it JUCO U.
The last game of the season.
Yeah.
They lost in the Big 12 champion. No, they lost to. Yeah, they lost in the Big 12 championship. They were number two in the country. Lost to Texas A&M. I remember that day vividly.
Yeah, it was a tough year, man. Edgerrin James was balling at Miami. Torrey Holt was balling at NC State.
McNabb,
my guy, was balling at Syracuse.
I'm just saying. Year. I mean, I would like to go back. I want to find the one person who voted for you to win the Heisman. You had one first place vote.
Smart guy.
Smart person.
Yeah, smart guy.
But, I mean, come on. Champ Bailey?
Champ was a baller.
I mean, he was. But he played defense. Yeah. Seventh. Hosed. Ridiculous. I mentioned this earlier in the
week. Woodson win it the year before?
Yeah, 97.
Yeah, so Champ Woodson. Champ return kick sometimes, you know, kind of.
Only had three picks.
They didn't throw at him. Well, plus, the SEC didn't throw the ball back then. Like, the SEC was a fullback and tight end, run the toss sweep, you know, run stretch. You know, come on. They didn't throw the ball back then.
I mean, Kentucky in 98 went 7-5. My guy goes undefeated.
Facts.
Top 10.
Yeah.
Obliterates everyone. 38 touchdown passes.
Say something
641 rushing yards.
I hear
11
you.
Rushing touchdowns.
Get hot, Jensen.
And... Guy finished 10th?
Yeah.
Where's the respect?
Woo-wee.
Where's the respect?
This that feel-good session. I mean, I like that.
Tim
yeah.
Couch.
Pump me up, baby. Pump
Tim
me
Couch
up.
Threw as many touchdowns as my guy, but threw 9 more interceptions.
Almost 10? Almost double digits?
Yeah.
Come on. Ridiculous. You know what? You know what?
7-5?
Hey, how many times did he throw the ball a year?
Tim Couch?
Yeah.
He threw it 553 times.
How many times I throw the ball a year?
Hold on. You threw the ball... 366.
So you mean 200 less attempts, same touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on, keep it coming, baby. Keep it
67%
coming. 67%. Aaron, we're going to have to get a graphic. We're going to have to get a graphic made, Aaron.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
We need to go back. We need to find those Heisman voters.
They need to re-vote.
We need to re-vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, redo the ceremony and everything.
I mean, Ricky could keep his Heisman trophy.
Yeah, but I should get an invite.
Yeah. Get King to New York City. I mean, you would have lived it up in New York City. You would have been wearing your suit.
Yeah.
Looking sharp. You would have had hair.
Hair and abs. Ooh, cheekbones are right. Yeah.
Tommy Bowden wouldn't have been able to make any jokes about you then.
Yeah, a little shorty. Aaron would love Tommy because Tommy's probably the only person I know that's shorter than Aaron. So if we can get Tommy on the show.
I mean, I'd love to get him on the show.
We'll get Aaron to come here and take a picture.
He goes on other shows on the network, but he doesn't come on the show of a guy
him come in person.
Who got him the Clemson job.
So allegedly, Philip Fulmer's coming on the show. They got some kind of college Hall of Fame induction or something that's happening in November. If I'm not mistaken. So Tommy may be coming in town for that. I'll find
out. Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll get Philip Fulmer to tell us what he thought when they threw the mustard on the field. And he laying with the golf ball.
So we did some letdowns, look aheads earlier in the show. I want to go back to something we discussed earlier in the week, which is always, as I would say, is always intriguing to me. Which is unranked teams laying points against ranked teams.
Right.
Iowa State's a 7-point favorite against Oklahoma State. Wisconsin's a 3-point favorite at Purdue. Air Force, this is strength on strength, Sean. San Diego State is the number one rush defense in the country, and they're taking on Air Force. That's going to be a low-scoring game. I would take the under. In that game, San Diego State's also switching quarterbacks. They're undefeated. They're switching quarterbacks. Interesting decision there. But I want to jump to this game because Kenny was on this side, and it makes me happy. UCLA hosting Oregon. College game day is going out west.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Tend to agree. But hopefully it's a good game. Actually, hopefully it's a blowout.
Maybe they just want to go to L.A. I get it.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah. You got to show some love to the Pac-12, I guess.
Well, you don't have to. You can, but you don't have to.
I really like UCLA in this spot. I wrote it up for the website. And, you know, I don't know what to think of Oregon this year, Sean. They are 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
They have that win over Ohio State. Very impressive. But as we keep getting further and further away from it, you start to think, all right, what is this team? You know, they were life and death with Cal, who had one win, still has one win. They come back, they win that game.
By the way, Cal's probably the best one-win team in the country.
<They're, yeah. laughs> You got that, Justin Wilcox? Yeah, good for you. I mean, they've only covered one game so far this year, and that was Ohio State when they were a dog. Every other game they've not been able to cover. And I said it before the season. I had to eat a little crow because they went and they beat Ohio State. But I just am not a big believer in Anthony Brown. And as the year goes on, Dorian Thompson-Robinson is getting better. He's not making mistakes. You know, against Washington last week, say what you will about Washington offensively, they're a good defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
He was efficient, 21-26, threw two touchdowns, rushed for 87. And this is a team, Sean, that wants to run it down your throat. They're a strong offensive line. They were on the midseason watch list for the Joe Moore Award, which is given out to the best offensive line in the country. And Zach Charbonnet, the Michigan transfer, has been a massive addition. In their five wins this year, he's gone over 100 yards in every single one. Went over 100 yards last week. And look, Oregon's got Kayvon Thibodeau. Dude's a freak of nature. Maybe the number one overall
pick. He's really good.
But, Sean, this Oregon defense has been decimated with injuries. They've learned how to overcome it, but Justin Flo, who is a five-star recruit, linebacker, he's out for the year. Drew Mattis, another linebacker, done for the year. Bennett Williams, a safety, done for the year. They're all banged up. You look at their depth chart, it's a lot of youth on that depth chart. And for a team that's averaging 4.96 yards per carry in the UCLA Bruins, and then you look at what Oregon's given up on the ground, about 140 yards per game, I think this is a spot where Chip Kelly knows what his strengths are, and they're going to be able to run the ball. And then, as you've brought up before, look, Travis Dye was great against Cal. He's a really good back, but they do not have C.J. Verdell anymore.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of home run players. You know, it just shows how hard it is when you don't have in-state talent to build elite depth. So that way, when you have injuries, the guys that are coming in are not just competent, but they're just as talented. But let me say this. This game is going to revolve around one thing before we go to break. Anthony Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He played outstanding against Cal. 71% completion percentage. Put that in perspective. When they went to Ohio State and won, he only completed 48% of his passes.
On the year, he's under 60%.
Right. So if he turned the corner against Cal, they have a chance. If he didn't, they don't. Right quick before we go out, Georgia has 9 5 stars on their defense. The entire Pac-12 conference has 9 5 stars playing all together right now.
Ask Shane Beamer.
That's why we call it the Pudding 12. I don't even know why game day is going.
Shane Beamer will remind you of all those 5 stars that Georgia has on their defense. Yeah. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. The team that went to the NBA Finals, not a great start to their season. We'll get you updated on the NBA next right here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming November 5th through November 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all of the action. Visit VSiN.com/SBNC for more information and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize. Once again, that's VSiN.com/SBNC. That man right there, Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Week 7 of the NFL season starts tomorrow night. It'll be a banged-up Cleveland Browns team. We'll get more into that here in just a moment. But a couple things to update the good people on, Sean. The Phoenix Suns, 6-point favorites tonight. They have lost. 110-98, the final score. The Broncos, because they're playing tomorrow night. The Denver Nuggets go into Phoenix. They get the win, 110-98. And the Sacramento Kings trying to hold on for a victory against the Portland Trailblazers as they lead that one, 122-117. That's the final game on the slate tonight. Looks like Portland making an effort here, as it is a 1-point game. Portland has outscored Sacramento by 14 in the fourth quarter. Sacramento was getting 6.5 in that one. So the second night of the NBA, the first full slate of NBA after last night.
Oh, yeah.
You had Chicago tonight.
I kind of get off the NBA after opening night, and I probably wait for Thanksgiving or Christmas. But if I see value,
it's too much going on,
I'll attack it. But I'm not going to be like a spread NBA better. It's too much fluctuation, in my opinion. I mean, these games go from up 12 to down 10 to tied. I just tell you, their ability to score the basketball when they really lock in is unbelievable. I mean, I found a spot that I love tonight, and I got lucky. I had the Bulls with all their additions going to Detroit, who was playing without the number one pick, Cade Cunningham.
Number one pick.
Yeah. So I thought there was some value there. I did get lucky. They were, what, five and a half? They won by six.
Yeah, and there was, I think, a tip-in that was waved off.
Let me ask you a question, switching to college football. Yeah. Tomorrow, three games on the slate.
Mm-hmm.
Any interest in any of them? Louisiana Lafayette at Arkansas State, who struggled mightily since their head coach left for Utah State. Yeah.
Arkansas State.
Tulane at SMU. Any chance the Green Wave
can go? We got four games tomorrow.
Oh, yes, four. Florida Atlantic at Charlotte. Road favorite. Not sure what kind of crowd Charlotte's going to have. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be a crazy environment. And San Jose State, who a lot of people had picked to win the Mountain West going into the season, only 3.5-point favorites at UNLV?
I need to know. I don't know if they've announced it yet. I don't know if we'll know right now.
Who's playing quarterback
at UNLV? Yeah, Nick Starkle has been hurt. Well, for San Jose State, Starkle continues. He's been sidelined for a while here. So I don't know the situation at quarterback there. If UNLV is going with Brumfield at quarterback, I actually like UNLV. They've been covering. They've been feisty.
They have.
I feel like they're on the cusp, Sean, of finally getting a win. They are winless on the year. They are 0-6. They lost to Utah State by 4 last week. Covered. 2 week. They had the overtime game against Fresno. That wasn't an overtime. It was a late touchdown. Got the cover.
Fresno's fell apart, by the way.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good one this weekend. Big time game this weekend. I am so frustrated.
Nevada all the way. The only thing that would make me lean towards Fresno and then tell me why you're frustrated is because, as Sean said, it's Lo'Neal's retirement. It's jersey retirement.
Yeah. I mean,
you're frustrated why?
Well, I'm frustrated because there's no games after 4:30 Eastern this weekend.
Or 4:30
Pacific. Yeah. There's no late night games for us.
Good.
Nevada, UNLV. Nevada and Fresno it should be
a 10 p.m. East Coast.
Yes. Yeah. Of course. And now it's on FS2 and you're fighting up against, I'm gonna be sitting back watching good old rivalry game for the jeweled shillelagh, my Irish and USC.
What's the total?
And that one, 57.5.
Taking over.
Probably. Yeah. USC can't stop anybody. Yeah. Let me ask you about that game. Notre Dame and USC. Just philosophically. Because Notre Dame is coming off a bye week. USC's coming off a bye week.
USC stinks.
Notre Dame is a coaching staff that is not going to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
And their players have bought in. They just beat Virginia Tech. USC, I don't know does a bye week do positive things for USC when you've got a coaching staff that is looking for other jobs? During this bye week, right, you're out on the recruiting trail. What are these coaches pitching to recruits? They're not going to be there next year.
Right now, everybody's looking out for themselves in the building.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're not getting upset about much. You're not arguing with anyone about anything. You're just going about your business. Just make sure I check all my boxes I'm responsible for. Dot my I's, cross my T's. Hey, tell my guys let's have some fun. Let's enjoy this, a little stretch together. And
I wouldn't lay 7, though. I don't want to, lay in points.
I like the over.
Yeah, 57.5. I've heard some people who like the over.
I like the over. I mean, the thing with SC is they're generally somewhere around 27 to 30 from a point standpoint.
I mean, their defense, Sean, is, if you look at who Notre Dame has played so far this year, statistically speaking, USC is the worst defense that they have played all year.
Absolutely. And the only team to hold them under 27 so far this year is Cincinnati.
Yeah. Cincinnati is a top three defense.
I don't know how they got to 41 against Wisconsin, but they did.
Well, that was two pick sixes, yeah. A kickoff return. But there was some fraudulentness in that.
They put up 27 against the Purdue team that held Iowa to, what was it, six?
Seven.
Seven? Put up 32 against Toledo. I mean, so they're capable. And SC, even though they're losing 26, 37, 27, 45, 28, they're scoring.
Drake London is, you know, Marcus Freeman so far, if you look at what he does, and people pointed this out last year in Cincinnati, was that he will change up his scheme on a week-to-week basis. So he went 4-4 against Wisconsin. He went 3-3-5 against Florida State, and Florida State started taking chunk runs, and they had to tweak that. So he has kind of shifted things all throughout the year, and I'm very interested to see what he does with USC because Drake London is their offense. I mean, that dude is an absolute baller, and he will be playing on Sundays. Keaton Slovis, he's got something to prove. So that's the thing. At the end of the day, Sean, USC, they still have guys that are very capable talent-wise. It's just what are they as a team?
Yeah,
their mindset?
Shout out to one of my players at USC, too. They got a freshman, Mike Trigg, number 8. He's going to be a baller. I think he's got about 7-8 catches on the year, almost 200 yards, touchdown, something like that.
Hopefully,
like a hybrid tight end type player.
Hopefully young Mike can wait till next week to have a big
game. Well, if you're going to take the over, then you just want points.
Well, you're taking the over. I don't really bet on Notre Dame games. Yeah, there he is, 7 for 109 and touchdown.
Yeah. How we produce as ballers in the Bay Area?
The Bay Area is San Francisco.
Tampa Bay areas. Call it the Bay Area. You know what? You're right. Because it's called Champa Bay.
That's right.
We just win championships.
That's true. Except the Rays.
Yeah. They're getting killed, too. They're getting killed.
Down in Tampa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's championship or bust down there.
You got the Lightning. You got the
back-to-back Lightning.
You got the Bucks.
Bucks defending.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rowdies. Defending.
UFC Bulls.
Yeah, USF. That was a bad call. USF I don't Bulls. See how they get over 3.5. I'm looking at this schedule.
All right, well, what about your Tulane Green Wave on the road tomorrow at SMU? For the AAC, SMU's got to keep doing their thing and keep winning. Is this a spot where the Green Wave can bite them?
I don't know if we can win the game, but I love us to cover. Just because SMU has not beaten many opponents by 15. You know, they beat South Florida and they beat North Texas, but La Tech they beat by 2. TCU they beat by 8. Navy they beat by 7. So they're playing tight games, and we're good enough on offense to get around 25 to 30. So I like us to cover the 14. I don't know if we can win it outright without SMU, turning the ball over.
You take Tulane tomorrow and plus the points. Take your boys. And I'm going to go hometown team. Give me the 4. Come on.
For what?
As long as Brumfield is playing, I want UNLV to cover. Plus the 4. They're covering machines.
Yeah, I didn't agree to that. That's not a cigar bet.
No.
Don't get happy.
No, cigar bet.
Yeah.
Just, we can't make bets on the show and cheer
we
for
can do that. Yes.
Our friend.
100%.
It is the nightcap here on Visa. We'll wrap things up. Take a look ahead. Thursday night football. Banged up game.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Indeed helps find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN, wrapping things up. A look ahead. Scott Seidenberg coming up next. And we have failed to mention that a member of Team Ginger Justin Turner got hurt running to first in the Dodgers 9-2 loss to the Braves. Important 9-2 for Sean over here with that homer. Grade 2 hamstring strain, and he is done for the remainder of the playoffs.
And now I'm really rooting for the Braves because I don't want the Dodgers to get to the World Series without Muncy and
Turner.
Yeah. I don't want to hear all these excuses.
And no Kershaw.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's been going for
it. No, I know.
Yeah.
Well, let's just take a look at tomorrow night because you've got the potential deciding game, Braves and Dodgers. Only posted line that I see right now is at the Westgate Superbook. I'll pull it up. Yeah, at the Westgate Superbook because, unless they pulled that down for any reason, but I believe they still have that posted, because the Dodgers are going bullpen. They don't know who they're going to be going with, and Max Fried is going to go for the Dodgers. For the Braves.
I'm rolling with Atlanta. Why wouldn't you?
I mean, Max Fried has been pitching.
Yeah.
He got hit around a little bit by the – I'm just pulling up the odds here to see if it's
– I mean, where do the Dodgers' runs come from with no Muncy, no Turner?
Yeah, right now, Braves plus 140, Dodgers minus 150 on the buyback.
I bet it'll be Braves plus 130, 120 something.
Yeah.
My first pitch. What time's that game?
Night game. It'll be 8:09 Eastern, 5:09 Pacific.
Is Boston and Houston playing tomorrow?
No, Friday.
Friday, okay.
Yeah, so they'll be on Friday. That'll be game 6 of the ALCS. Game 6 of the NLCS, if we get there, would be on Saturday back in Atlanta. But we'll see if the Braves can finish it off. And yeah, right now, if you're looking at that price, Sean, as you mentioned, no Justin Turner. It's going to be a bullpen game for the Dodgers. Do they go to Max Scherzer? It's possible, but then you're messing up what would be for game 6. So Dave Roberts is in a tricky situation here. They've gone to Max Scherzer. He closed out the Giants series. He pitched the ninth inning there. Max Fried, by the way, just sorry to interrupt.
No,
Max Fried, as we talked about, in his last 13 starts, the Braves are 12-1 in those starts.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been great. He really has been tremendous for the Braves. He threw 6 scoreless innings against the Brewers in the NLDS. He went 6 innings, got a no decision earlier in game 1 against the Braves, a game they ultimately won, the Braves. So, yeah, he's been pitching really well. That's the guy you want. If you're the Braves, he's the guy you want. Because, honestly, think about it this way, Sean. If the Braves don't win on Thursday, tomorrow night, then you're going back home and you're going to face Max Scherzer and Walker Buehler. That's not who you want to face to try to get out of this series.
I just think at this point the Dodgers staff is so fatigued.
Yeah.
From the Cardinals game to the Giants series to the point we are now, you're just getting names. You're not getting stuff. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting Urias and Buehler and Scherzer in name, but you aren't getting them fresh when they got their best stuff.
I feel like...
And that bullpen has worked. Like, they've been earning every penny since they pulled Scherzer early in the Cardinals game. Think about that. Mm-hmm. They pulled Scherzer early in the Cardinals game, and that bullpen, they've been earning it. They've been getting the butter from the duck in that Dodger bullpen.
I feel like, in my opinion, that Dave Roberts, messed with Julio Urias a little bit.
Yeah.
Having him pitch in game 2 against the Braves in a game you ultimately lost, in a game he got hit up in. That was Max Scherzer's start. He comes out. He blows the save in that, the 8th inning, I think, I want to say, against the Braves. And then he starts tonight, and he's just not himself. I mean, this guy was a 20-game winner.
Yeah.
And you pulled him in out of the bullpen in game 2. Should he be able to, be back in his normal self? Yeah, but he's a young pitcher. I mean, he's, his mid-20s. I don't know. It just, to me...
You remember when you were in college and they talked about Pavlov's dogs?
No.
How he trained those dogs. When they heard the bell,
yeah,
they knew that.
Creature of habit.
Yeah. So that's what baseball players are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're used to a routine. doing the same thing. Like, they put their shoes on the same way. Their socks are turned with the logo. Like, pitchers, they have it mapped out.
There are some guys that can.
But very few. If you get a baseball
player.
Like,
Madison Bumgarner a couple years ago was, I mean, he single-handedly won the Giants the World Series that year. But that is the exception, not the rule.
Right.
And that's why I think
most time when you mix up those guys' schedule, it does not go well.
By the way, what Aaron wants to know, what does butter from a duck mean?
Oh, that means they working you. I mean, you out there in that field, it's hot, ain't no water, and ain't no stopping anytime soon. Like, they've been getting the butter from the duck from that bullpen.
All right, so you're on the Braves tomorrow. I might join you. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping the Braves can finish this thing out. We can ride into the World Series 16-1.
I don't like that. I might join you.
I'm deciding. There's no peer pressure in gambling.
I look at my phone every day about 2:33. Hey, what is Tim like? Did he text me? No. He didn't like anything.
He was about to call me today. Yeah. I would have talked to you off Coastal Carolina.
I should have.
Nice win for App State. Thursday night football. Browns, Broncos. This line right now, Sean, is sitting at, here at Circa, Broncos getting 2. It was down to 1.5. It has bounced back to 2.
I'm playing Denver on the money line. I just feel like they're the healthier group. If the weather's going to be really bad, now I think not having Jedrick Willis and Jack Conklin, you know, now it really kills Cleveland. You know, just.
And you don't have Kareem Hunt. You don't have Nick Chubb. Right. You have your guy, Darius Johnson.
He'll be fine, but.
But he's not Nick Chubb. He's not Kareem Hunt.
As good as Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are, their run game is about that offensive line. And when your two tackles aren't available.
Well, we don't know yet. Well, they're questionable.
Right. I'm operating like they are not playing until I see that they are.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm going with Denver. I think Denver can really line up. Teddy B, he's a veteran. He'll be able to handle the road. Remember his record going into week one at the Giants on the road. You know, he has a tremendous record. Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon starting to run the ball better. They got a legitimate threat in Cortland Sutton. So I'm leaning towards Denver. Great run defense against a, even if fully available, not fully healthy offensive line with their top two backs out, the backup quarterback. I mean, I'm a roll with Denver.
Well,
I'm sure Cleveland will probably win by 30. But
yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
And I probably will just end up playing the under. That'll be a larger play for me.
41.
Yeah, and then I'll play a small Broncos money line.
Well, before you leave here, go play the money line at Circa. It's the best money line out there.
For the Broncos?
Plus 120. Yeah, Denver plus 120 on the money line here at Circa. 110 pretty much across the rest of the market. Plus 115 at DraftKings, so there's your second best money line. Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think Denver in a teaser is a great, great leg. I really do. You got a game at 2, you're pushing it through 3, you're pushing it through 7, you've got a total of 41, which is the lowest total on the board, a game where Cleveland's starting a backup quarterback, have questions at both tackle positions, both their starting running backs are out. So if you don't love Denver to win this game, that's fine. I think them to start a teaser is an absolute great start to your weekend. Then you have to just find your dance partner, whether it be Green Bay, push them down to 2.5 against Washington, whether it be New England, push them down to 1 against the Jets. I think there's a bunch of options out there, so that would be the way I would go. But I like Denver to win this game as well.
Yep. Probably means they're going to lose.
Probably. Just lose by less than 7. Less than 8. And for you, you think Case Keenum is not that big of a drop-off.
But again, if the weather's like Brad Evans says, windy, cold, icy, you know, getting towards that winter climate in Cleveland, it's going to be ugly.
It will be. That man right there is Sean King. Had the over. So he's happy about that. Had Coastal Carolina. Not so happy about that.
Also, shout out to the Chicago Bulls. Way to cover open night, baby.
Thanks to Brad Evans, our guy. Thanks to Adam Wexler. Thanks to Kenny White. Thanks to Aaron Oster. For Sean King, I'm Tim Murray. Coming up next, it's the Look Ahead with Scott Seidenberg right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.